Radio Real. Real radio, your reality.
Welcome to Off the Shelf,
the Second Life radio show and podcast about books and the people who love them.
I'm Kegia Girardi.
And this is Simeon Beresford.
Join us as we survey the literary scene in our virtual world.
Welcome to Off the Shelf. This is Gabrielle Real providing the introduction to the show today. The show today is an interview between Kegia and the Real World and Second Life author and writer, Tori Lynn Ryder. Simeon was away this week, so it's just Kegia and Tori Lynn that will be having the discussion. Tori Lynn is also one of the key players in a group called the Inksters in Second Life, and it's one of the largest writers' groups and centers that has been created specifically around encouraging writers of all levels and styles to write more. And it also provides them with some additional resources to do that. Sadly, the first few minutes of the interview between Kegia and Tori Lynn was cut off, so we will join them mid-discussion here in just a moment.
It's interesting to hear your own words read by somebody else. It changes the experience for a writer, I think.
Yes, it does. I used to have people tell me that listening to their poetry out loud really helped them to hear not only the tones, and it made sure it went with what was in their head, but also helped them to sort of get an idea of what might be able to be changed. So it helped the criticism too.
Right. So what do you do in addition to Sounds of Poetry?
On Tuesdays we have the Short Poetry Workshop, which is at 7, and that's hosted by Sunny Beaumont, and she chooses a short style every week and teaches people how to create that style. And so in a workshop atmosphere, people create that and read them aloud. So it's a really interesting creation kind of workshop where you get an idea that you're learning something and you're also supporting other writers, which I love. Sunny does so well with that.
Mm-hmm. And the Friday event, which I wish I could attend more often.
The Friday event is also a conjunction between Written Word and Inksters, and that's the short story discussion group, where we have a group of people that get together, and we'd really like to see more people there. Destry Recreant and I sort of created the group over a year ago now. It's been going for over a year. And every week we get together and we discuss a short story that was chosen the week before. So we have a week to read the story. And then we sit down and we talk about it. We talk about the writing. We talk about the characters. We talk about the historical era that created that story. And you learn so much about writing through reading other people's works, which is really cool. So that's my speech.
And what else are you guys doing at Inksters? I know you do some social events.
Yeah. We have the Inksters Dance on Saturdays at 3 to 5. And that's basically, there's no education to it whatsoever. It's just hanging out, dancing, and getting to know people. Our favorite DJ is Wendy Fox Chase, who does some really amazing things. And then I fill in when I can, when she needs me to. But I'm not the greatest DJ in the world yet. Need more music.
Is that all that's going on at Inksters, or do you have other events that just not aware of?
Well, we are starting up the writing competition again, where it's going to be weekly with a 1,000 Linden prize per week to the best writer. So every week we put out a note card that has a topic, and you have like a week to turn in that entry, and then whoever has the best one gets 1,000 Lindens, or a pot of 1,000 Lindens. If the group who judges them, because it's not just me because I would go insane, likes more than one, we'll split the pot or whatever, which is nice. Right. And then we also have the Inksters blocks in themselves, which aren't exactly an event, but what we do have with the Inksters blocks is we're trying to create a community of writers who'll be there and interact and, you know, and hang out, get to know each other, and become really a close-knit community. Because we'd really love to see, and this is not just me talking, but other Inksters owners as well, we'd really love to see people, you know, form bonds that are going to help them create. So
you get that networked community that Second Life is so good at creating.
Definitely. And so amazing that it's so international. We have people from everywhere, and I absolutely love that, because if I don't have experience in, like, well, right now I'm writing a novel about the Civil War. If I don't have experience on the Civil War, I can go find somebody in Second Life who does have that knowledge, and I can ask them.
That's an aspect I hadn't even considered as a research resources.
Oh, yeah. There's so many research resources here. There's a whole lot of Civil War stuff, and there's stuff from the Holocaust that I'm going to be using. I use in my classes, actually. So it's just amazing.
Well, Inksters has really evolved into a great community for writers, and it's obvious it's tied to your love of writing as well. How have you as a writer benefited from Second Life?
Well, since I've been in Inksters for almost 2.5 years now, which sounds like forever, I've written a novel. I've had a novel critiqued. I'm actually part of a historical fiction writing workshop, which is working on creating historical novels. So I'm learning how to write new forms, which is just amazing to me. I've connected with people. There's so much that I have done here. What I really, really have done here, which is kind of one of those things that I hate admitting, is when I go to poetry events and they ask you to, like, read out loud or something like that, I'll write the poem at the event. So I've learned that I can write very quick poetry. So.
Well, that's got its own talent and skill. It keeps you writing and fresh.
Definitely.
Well, when I read your bio, I was surprised to learn about that you created or co-created a project called In the Pink.
Yes.
And again, back to you being a writer, why don't you tell us a little bit about what inspired you and how that project took shape?
Oh, In the Pink was actually an amazing project and probably the work I'm the most proud of. Me and four other women were working on a project to bring the vagina monologues to Second Life, for female empowerment. We were going to do it for International Women's Day. And what happened was, due to circumstances beyond our control, the rights were pulled out from under us and we couldn't perform it. So Calliope Delgado, who was the figurehead of this whole project, Lauren Wayland, Ada Radius, and I all got together and thought, okay, what do we do now? Because we were the original four producers for the vagina monologues. And so we got together, talked about it, and Calliope Delgado pulled a bunch of women within Second Life and asked us all for our own experiences with sexuality and femininity, not only in Second Life, but in our real lives. She got such amazing responses that she put into the script for what eventually became In the Pink. And that team of the four women really came together, and we did such amazing things, because we had had, since not November, we were going to have 6 months to produce the vagina monologues, and I think we pulled together In the Pink in like a month and a half.
Wow.
So it just went so quickly.
It must have had great momentum then, didn't it?
It did. We had so much great support from the community, and we raised money. We still were raising money for vday.org, which it was the Vagina Monologues main website to raise money. And so we raised a bunch of money for them, and we sent off the money. And it was a really empowering experience for so many women here in Second Life. It was probably the first time that I ever really felt like I took I took center stage, as well as those other four women.
Mm-hmm.
That was just such a powerful experience.
I know that Vagina Monologues is usually done every year in February. Is In the Pink something that you plan on redoing or bringing back again?
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, but if I want to do In the Pink, I'd need to ask the other four producers if they'd want to get on board, because I wouldn't want to do it without them. Mm-hmm. And then if it didn't happen that those four producers, you know, decided not to, I might go forward with other people and then, you know, rename it something else. But I would love to see something else created for female empowerment here in Second Life, because I think it's a really important subject.
It's great. We've interviewed a lot of, or several people who host open mics in Second Life, but we really haven't talked about how writers new to Second Life find workshops and groups to share their work. What advice would you offer to people looking for a writing community?
Oh, first, I would start at an event. And if they can find events, there's events on the search bar, and start getting to know the people in the community. Another thing to do definitely is to search for writing groups. If you put in writing into the search tool for just groups, you find like 200 different groups. I would start with the biggest one, which I think right now is the Written Word. And Inksters itself has 777 members as of this morning.
All right. And,
yeah, we're getting kind of big. And so it's just, you know, this. So start with a group, go to an event, meet people, and talk and get to know people. And that's the best way to really get into the writing community, is just start talking and let people know who you are, and they'll flock to you. Don't be rude, however. There's a lot of people can be rude.
Right. We get a lot of new writers at Bookstacks who are looking, they just don't know where to begin. So having that little bit of advice makes it less intimidating for them.
Yes. Also, another good way to start would be to share your writing with people. Because that's a really good way. If you're shy of talking, which I know some people are, write and share writing and go to the writing events where you don't have to talk a lot, but you can write and turn in your writing or whatever, because those help a lot too.
Mm-hmm. And for the most part, the readings aren't so huge that you have to be super intimidated when you do something in voice.
That's
I don't
true.
Think. So, and voice has been a great benefit for the writing community in terms of sharing, I think, as well.
That's true. I think voice has really revolutionized the SL writing world, because for Stephanie Phoenix holds a open mic on Sundays from 5 to 7, and they used to do it so that it was all by line reader, and voice totally revolutionized and got people up there reading. And but there's still people who are voice shy or who don't want to use their voice, who don't want to speak. And we're learning that there's always somebody who's willing to read for you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. And again, like we mentioned earlier, hearing your own poetry changes the experience.
Yes, it does. A great deal. I'm glad that I'm not doing Sounds of Poetry as often as I used to. I'm on the... I do this all the time. I'm on the queue. I do it randomly or whenever I get called up to do it. But it's nice that I don't have to do it all the time, because I can turn my own poetry over to other people and say, here, read this for me. And it's nice to hear my own words.
Right.
It's sort of strange.
Well, it's easy to get really busy in Second Life, attending workshops, attending readings. And I think that just even, well, shopping can be a distraction.
Yeah, shopping is definitely a distraction.
Can be a distraction for writers. How do you stay focused on your writing?
Well, about a year ago, I got together with another group of writers, Skylar Smythe, Destry Recreant, and Rich. And I want to say Ochis, but he says I always pronounce that wrong. And we did this thing called The Artist's Way. It was to help get over writer's block. And in it, there's this program where you're supposed to write 3 pages a day. You know, get in the habit of writing 3 pages a day. And I started doing that, and it really changed it really changed the way I write, because it was, you know, it's creating the habit of doing it daily, which was really something new for me. And now I do. Now that's what I find the time to do. I find the time to sit there and write every day.
Do you write while you're in world, or do you definitely turn Second Life off?
I used to write when I was in world, but I've learned that Second Life, because I get so busy in here now, I have to turn Second Life off if I want to write. Because I'd rather be doing something else than writing. Usually, you know, building or hanging out with friends or going to a dance or going to a reading or, you know, doing something other than writing, and it's really hard. So I do. I turn Second Life off.
Right.
The only time I write in Second Life is poetry. So.
What's coming up next at Inksters?
Next at Inksters, we're going to be continuing to fill the writer's blocks, which we still have, I think, 10 left, because we just filled 2 more. But at Cookie Island, actually, coming up next is the Autumn Writers Exhibition, which is hosted by Jilly Kidd, and is this huge event where she gives tents to every writer who wants one, and it's a way to display the works that we've been doing all year. And so we're sponsoring the Autumn Writers Exhibition, and then we're also going to be sponsoring, Hastings Barnumoff too. He does a lot of stuff with that. He actually does a lot of really amazing building work over at Written Word. And then we're also going to be hosting monthly costume parties. So that's going to be fun.
Always popular in Second Life.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get people involved in getting to meet other writers. I think the social aspect of writing is so neglected, because writing is such a solitary act. You don't really write with other people very often. And so getting a social sociability into the writing world is important, because it helps you know that you're not really all that alone.
Right. And Torlin, where can we hear you or read your work?
I have a blog at torlinwriter.blogspot.com, and that's pretty much the only place I have stuff online, and I haven't read aloud, unless you know my real life name and go look for my most embarrassing work. I got involved with a program called LibriVox.
Mm-hmm.
Read works out loud, and
we love LibriVox.
Yeah, LibriVox is awesome. So I got involved, and I did one chapter of the history of the Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, but at the time I didn't know how to pronounce Thucydides, so I pronounced like every name in the whole chapter that I read wrong, and I thought that they deleted it or something, but they didn't, because one of my friends looked me up and found me, and I'm so mortified.
Oh, the internet has a long memory, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Oh, I will never live that down.
For those of you not familiar with LibriVox.org, it's a audio version of Project Gutenberg, where they've got public domain books that you can download and listen to.
It's totally worthwhile. And if you have a good voice, lend it to them, because they need readers.
Definitely.
I love them. Yes.
The version of Alice in Wonderland on there is wonderful. You get this lovely posh English accent reading it. It's just wonderful.
Well, the most recent thing I read from LibriVox was As You Like It. And I would love to do something like that in Second Life with a bunch of actors together reading Shakespeare and then put it onto a LibriVox recording, because I think they would be so grateful. And they need Titus Andronicus. Because that's what I want to read next.
Great. All right. One final question for you. What are you reading at the moment?
Currently, and this is kind of funny, I'm reading a book called This Republic of Suffering, about death and the Civil War. And I'm writing a Civil War novel, so I'm finding it fascinating.
Is it fiction or nonfiction?
currently it's nonfiction. My most recent fiction reading is To Kill a Mockingbird, actually.
Oh, that's a wonderful book.
Yeah, I have to teach it, so I had to read it. But it was totally worth reading, so yay.
The sense of humor by Harper Lee is something that you don't remember when you think about it later, but it's definitely part of that novel. Tori Lynn, it's been a delight talking to you, and thank you so much for being a guest on Off the Shelf.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Good. Off the Shelf will return with a new season soon. In the meantime, please check out our past episodes at thebookstacks.org and check out our regular events in world. Thank you all.
Off the Shelf is produced for Radio Real by Kegia Gherardi and Simeon Beresford. Technical production is by Radio Real. You can find Radio Real on the web at radioreal.org. Music on this program includes works by artists on the Magnatune label. The music in the general introduction is John Playford's All in a Garden Green by Eileen Hadidian and Natalie Cox from their album Dolce Musica, A Contemplative Journey. The off-the-shelf theme music is 1500 Tons by Burning Babylon from the album Stereo Mashup. And we bid you goodbye with this piece, Hagagasan 14 by Eternal Jazz Project from their album Gratis Jazz. You can learn more about Magnatune and their artists on their website at magnatune.com. Off the Shelf is licensed under Creative Commons.